Proverbs 30, verses 18 through 20, these are God's words. There are three things which are too wonderful for me. Yes, four which I do not understand. The way of an eagle in the air, the way of a serpent on a rock, the way of a ship in the midst of the sea, and the way of a man with a virgin. This is the way of an adulterous woman. She eats and wipes her mouth and says, I have done no wickedness. So far, the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. Well, the word way here indicates path. And the eagle in the air is majestic and glorious and good and impressive, but he doesn't leave a vapor trail. A serpent on a rock is not like a snail or a worm that leaves its slime. And a husband and his wife are to enjoy the marriage bed which God has created for the purpose of glorifying him in marriage and of joining them together more completely, and even as the way from which God produces new image bearers, as something for them to know only between the two of them. It adds to the wonder and the mystery and the enjoyment of God's goodness in the way he designed it, that it is known only to the two of them. Yet the adulterous woman, covering her tracks, as it were, is not enjoying the goodness of God. She is not following something that God has created for good. She puts herself in the place of God. So she eats and wipes her mouth. That is, she is dirty and covers her tracks as if she has participated in something good that God has given her, and says, I have done no wickedness. So a couple of things here. The first is to remember that the marriage bed is something that you are to discover and enjoy with your spouse alone. It is not something to read books about in advance. All of the principles of godliness and of love for your spouse and self-sacrifice and all of the things that are necessary for a wife submitting to her husband well, and a husband living with his wife according to understanding and placing her before himself, delighting in her, and the two of them together enjoying God's design for life, generally, in all of life. All of those principles, if applied to the marriage bed, are enough to discover it well and to enjoy it well. Mom and I will give you the principles from Scripture when you are coming to get married. We are not going to give you some secret how-to. That's something for you to discover with your spouse. So that's on the front end. And then, of course, during marriage, you want that to be kept to yourself, between yourself and your husband, or yourself and your wife, all the while enjoying the glory and goodness of God and everything that he has made, and finding that doing it according to the principles that he's given in his word is what makes it the best. because then you are kept in the path of enjoying him first and foremost, and enjoying his creation in the way that he has commanded. Very, very important. In verse 19, to see God's creation, including the idea of hidden paths, adding to or emphasizing glory and beauty in God's creation. And you say, oh, well, we know how eagles fly. Well, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the road that the eagle is taking in the air. And then it's important that you see in verse 20 that there are people who tell themselves that what they are doing is right, who make themselves think that they're keeping verse 19 when they're not. The way of an adulterous woman, she eats and then wipes her mouth and says, I have done no wickedness. It's like the child from the illustration that we sometimes use, and they've got the chocolate on their face and they still have it on their face, and daddy or mommy comes and says, have you gotten into the chocolate? And they they say, no, they haven't. Well, we can be more clever than that. We can get into the cake batter or whatever it is, and then when we're done, wipe it off our face and say, what cake batter? There are many people who justify all sorts of sexual sin. Not just the alphabet soup people, and not just the adultery and fornication people. There's a popular Christian psychologist who wrote a book around the time I was going through the change from a child into an adult. And he encouraged experimentation. And I don't know if those in the church in my home who were shepherding me had read the book or just didn't understand. But they recommended the book to me. And I didn't know better at the time. And so I thought that what was told me in the book was right and was supposed to help me have a good marriage later, because that's the way the book was presented. So all of that to say, just because you come out at the end of doing something or go into doing something thinking that it is good, or telling yourself that it is okay, rationalizing that it isn't sinful, doesn't mean that's true. You need to be measured by the Bible, and you need to be directed by the Bible on the front end, and you need to be measured by the Bible on the back end. When we tell ourselves we have done no wickedness, when we decide for ourselves what is right and what is wise, we put ourselves in the place of God. And that's the great difference, isn't it, between the adulterous woman in verse 20 and the four things in verse 19. You know, obviously God didn't make ships. Well, he made one by the hand of Noah. But he designed the sea to cover up the wake, right? So you have the four hidden paths. But always be aware of satanic counterfeit. The adulterous woman thinks she has made for herself a hidden path by wiping her mouth when she's done, and by telling herself, I have done no wickedness. But that's the temptation, isn't it? If you eat of the fruit, you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Well, how does God know good and evil? Good is whatever is consistent with his character and whatever he commands. Evil is whatever is inconsistent with his character and whatever he forbids. We can't know good and evil the way God knows good and evil. But she's trying to at the end of verse 20. And the further the culture gets from God, the more, not just the mind of the culture, but the minds and morals of many in the church are not going to agree with those of the Lord God, which is one of the benefits of systematically, steadily moving through Scripture in your secret worship, in our family worship, in the public worship, throughout your whole life, to constantly becoming and getting the Word of God more and more into you for the renewing of your mind, so that you won't be conformed to the pattern of this world, so that the way you use your body will be as a living sacrifice to God, enjoying Him first of all and foremost, and His goodness in all of His design. So that's the general lesson. But the very specific lesson with the marriage bed is keep it a mystery until you get there. And keep it private once you get there. God has all of the principles you need. You don't need anything more than the Word of God and your spouse, whom you need to trust also and ask also to follow the principles. And of course, there's more to be said about what the principles are for that specific case. But we can speak about those things with each of you as we come closer to the time of marriage, because a focus on those principles is going to be needed for every part of every day of your married lives. In other words, read Gouge of Domestical Duties and apply all of the principles from the Bible to every part of your marriage, not just the bed. All right, let's pray. We thank you, our Lord and our God, the Holy, Holy, Holy One, that you have not only taken us to be your own special creatures in making us in your image and your own special people, and setting us apart to yourself in this world, and your own redeemed people through Jesus Christ and his sacrifice and faith in him, and your own adopted children through the indwelling of your Spirit, who gave us that faith and who, uniting us to Christ, dwells in our hearts and makes us to call you Abba, Father. But that just as you never miss any good thing for our physical nourishment, and we receive the bread that we need from you, whatever that is, so you have given us in your word every bit of instruction that we need, and that you have addressed all of our lives and given us the commands and the principles, the precepts by which to live them. We thank you for giving us instruction in this specific area of the marriage bed, and for this opportunity just now that you've given us as a family to sit down and think about it a little bit from your word. And I pray that you'd bless it to my children, that you'd keep them from sin in this area, which is so destructive and so enslaving, so offensive to you and harmful to them and to your church and to the society in which you have placed us. And that you would help them to love you and know you as Creator and marvel at your wisdom and power in all of your creation and your goodness. And that you would help them throughout their childhood to build a right understanding of what your word says and the skill of following that from their hearts, even now, which they can build upon and grow in that skill for the rest of their lives. We ask that you would be glorified in taking us by the hand and in guiding us by your counsel. And then when our way and work in this world is done, receiving us into glory, and that your Spirit would keep convincing us and conforming our hearts to the words, "Whom have we in heaven but you?" and there is nothing that we desire on earth beside you, and that for us we define good as being near you, so that we may praise you. Grant this for us, O Lord, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.